Man, today was powerful worship, right? Who thinks today was pretty awesome worship? Yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory forever, amen, right? There's power in that, right? Who likes power? Who likes power? Raise your hand if you guys like power. Who wants power? Right? Yeah, you guys got to be honest with yourself. You guys, I mean, sometimes I look at, what's the Adam Morris, right? Is that his name? Nathan Morris, yeah. You know when you see Nathan Morris and he like, boom, people start falling and he's like just prays for somebody. He's like, my back got healed or my leg grew or whatever it is, you know. Or you hear Roman Tretchuk preaching, you're like, whoa, man, I wish I had that kind of power to preach like these guys. Or you see, I don't know who else. Who else is really powerful? Mark Morozov going around to different churches and they have, you know, and you look at it, it's like, wow. Man, I kind of like that, right? Yeah. Who here thinks like, man, I want power too. I want to be great. I want to heal somebody. I want to pray for somebody to get healing. Yes. I want to pray for somebody. And, you know, man, I remember, thought the same way. Still think the same way. Because power is attractive, guys. The supernatural is attractive. And right now we're, there's this movement going on in churches among young people where the power that they seek, they're not seeking God, they're seeking the power. But today I want to preach about a power that you guys have. Whoo, praise God, she needs coffee, man. She needs coffee, she's yawning back there. But guys, power, right? I want to preach about the power that you have. So if you guys have your Bibles, who has their Bibles? Raise them right now. Come on, open to chapter 5 of Ephesians. Chapter 5 of Ephesians. Could be a tongue twister. And say amen when you get there. Amen. And come on, let's pray real quick. Father, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for your power. God, we thank you that you have all the power. Holy Spirit, that you're here in this place right now, Lord, and that you are inside of us, God, that you have made us your temple. Oh God, I pray that you will be in this place, Father, and teach us from your word and nothing else. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So Ephesians, this is Apostle Paul writing to the church in Ephesus. And he's writing something like this, verse 15 to verse 17. Look carefully then how you walk, not as the unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. You guys understand what the power I'm talking about yet? You guys have the power to control the weather. Somebody say amen. Just kidding, don't. I was kidding about that. But you have the power, guys. We have the power to control where we invest our time. And in whom we are investing our time into. And with who we invest our time. You see, time is, the Bible talks about time as this very fragile thing that just gone with the wind. It says it's like the human life is like chaff. When it gets picked up, it gets blown away and boom, it's gone. Or, you know, life is so short and eternity is so long. But time is this very valuable thing. Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus. And you got to understand, when Apostle Paul is writing to churches in the epistles, that means he's writing to them about certain issues they're dealing with. You got to understand, this church, these group of people, these group of believers, they were dealing with wasting of time. You know, and it says, look carefully how you walk, not as the unwise, but as the wise. First part there is look. Man, pay attention to what you're doing with your time. Don't just live your life just meaningless, just around circles, doing round and round, right? Just doing the same old thing, just going about my business and not paying attention to what you're spending your time on. Then he makes this very extreme distinction. People that waste their time are very unwise. So he says, do not be like the unwise, but be wise. Look where you're going, first of all. Make the best use of your time, for the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, because it is foolish to waste your time, right? So that's what he's saying. Don't be foolish, man. Don't be stupid. Don't waste your time. But time is so fragile and so precious. Don't waste it. But understand what the will of the Lord is. Amen. There's this guy. His name is Ty. I forgot his last name. But you might have seen him on social media. He starts his videos off with like, hey, I'm in my garage and I got this new Lamborghini. You guys ever seen that? Have you seen that? Do you know his name? Ty Lopez. There you go. Ty Lopez. That's right. My man in the back. Ty Lopez. Ty Lopez is very, I guess you can say he's successful-ish. Or he's actually a very successful guy. I don't think he's Christian or anything, but he's a successful guy. And I was listening to an interview with him, and he was talking about his 33% rule. He has this rule of 33%. He says, spend your time wisely. You know, you take your first 33%, you spend it with people that are under your level. You know, you spend it with people that don't know as much as you, that they're not at the same spiritual level as you, they're not at the same academic level as you. You know, you invest your time into them, you invest your knowledge into them, you invest to try to grow them. Then he says, you take 33% of your time and you spend it on people that are the same level as you. And so you spend it with people that know as much as you, that believe in the same things you do, that have been through the same things you've been through or whatever. So, you know, you guys kind of like encourage each other, right? And then he says, take your other 33% and spend it with people that are older than you. People that have higher educations, people that have higher knowledges, people that have greater experiences than you do. You know, he says that right there will make you a more well-balanced person. Right? So I thought that's very interesting. So I want to share that with you, because even people that are out of, you know, out in the world, they've cracked the code of what to do with their time. They're being wise with their time, because you got to understand, time is something you can't buy. Time is something that you can't take back. A time, if you spend a year with somebody, you can't take that year back, especially if you invested your emotions or you invested something into that person. You can't take that back. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Because the actual topic of this sermon is Friends. Yeah, not the TV show, but Friends. Like, who's ever seen the TV show Friends? Right? It's just a bunch of people just hanging out together and having fun and doing life together. And I was kind of thinking about that because every couple Sundays ago, we were talking about this with Johnny and stuff, of how we're trying to build a community here. We're trying to build a group of friends here, right? A group of people that are just doing life together. Amen, Johnny? Yeah, right. So a group of people that are going towards the same goal and that are striving after the same thing. A group of people that are trying to see God together. We're trying to be friends. Amen? So friends is a big deal in our lives. A friend, people that you hang out with, people who you call your friends, they actually define who you are. You know? So you have the power to choose your friends. You guys got that? You guys got what I got from power? So you have the power to invest, to decide who you want to be your friend. And to decide who's going to impact your life. So a friend, what do you guys look for in a friend? Huh?
Loyalty.
Johnny looks for loyalty in a friend. What do you look for a friend, Julian? Heart. Desire, mutual desires, right? So you guys want to have mutual interests in each other. What else do you guys look for in a friend? Trust, right? Person you can depend on, rely on. Who said that? Gloria, hey. All right. What else do you guys look for in a friend? Encouraging. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, that's really good. That's really good. What else do you guys look for in a friend? Just shout it out. Real. Straight up real, yeah. Have fun with. Person who you enjoy.
Funny.
You guys are describing me. I don't know what you guys are talking about. I'm kidding. But joyous, yeah. So a person, you guys... these are really good qualities. You guys want to see these kind of person that's maybe reliable, right? Respectful. A person that's forgiving sometimes, supportive. Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." A friend is a person who always has your back. A true friend, may I say, a true friend. But the Bible also says that bad company corrupts what? Good morals or good character, right? So the kind of people that they hang around you, they actually shape who you are if you're not careful. That's what I want to get at today. Because when I was younger, man, I let everybody influence me. I let everybody influence me, whoever it was. You know, I was hanging out with people and I let them influence me at school. I go to church and Tipa church friends. I let them influence me there. And so now I'm getting like all sorts of influences and I let it happen to me because I didn't understand that this time that I have. I'm going to get to that though. Hold that thought, okay? You have the power to choose your friends. The power to choose your friends. Somebody say amen. You guys ever heard of the saying, skimp pavidyosha? Pavidyosha? How do you say that? Thank you, Pastor. What does that mean? Man, what does that mean? People that you hang out with is going to define who you are. The kind of friends you have, right? I was talking to my little sister. This is how I kind of got this whole sermon idea in my head. I was talking to my little sister. I started talking to her. I'm like, hey, what kind of friends do you have? You know, like, how are your friends? You know, because I haven't seen her in a long time. She's about your guys' age. And she's like, oh, man, this, you know, one girl, she's my best friend, and blah, blah, blah. She starts talking about her and stuff, and I'm like, wow, that's so cute. And then she's like, this other girl, oh, man, she's always so negative and stuff, and I just don't like to hang out with her because she's so negative, and I kind of tend to keep away from her because she's still my friend, but I kind of tend to keep away from her. But then my other friend, she's like this, and then my other friend, she doesn't like her because of her, and blah, 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 blah. You know, like this whole thing that girls have where it just goes on and on and on. And then before you know it, we came to the airport because we were talking in the car. And I was like, whew, okay, bye-bye, gotta go. But Mila was there too. yeah, you get to talk about friends and they keep going. But so you actually have to choose who you're friends with. You got to choose who you're friends with. Because if you're not careful, if you're not looking to about like how you're going, you know, like this verse said in Ephesians, if you're not looking where you're going, if you're not looking what direction you're going, these friends are going to start influencing you instead of you influencing them. I had a guy ask me this question. He's like, man, I'm supposed to be the light to the world so I can go to some kind of biker bar and I'm going to be the light to them there. And I'm going to preach to them there. And I'm going to have all these unchristian friends. I'm like, wait, hold on, man. Are you going to be the light to them or are they going to be the light to you? Are you going to influence them or are they going to take you into their darkness? You guys understand that? So what is the key? Because we live our lives amongst unbelievers all day long. We go to school, there's unchristians there. We go to work and there's unchristians there. We go to colleges and there's people that are unbelievers. They're around us 24/7, impacting us with their words. Impact, because I work at a construction site. They're always cussing. They're always cussing. They're always talking about parties. Always talking about women. They're always talking about all sorts of things. And it's always around me. You know, and it's like, what is the secret to being in the presence of God, to being a believer, to being a person who impacts the world instead of the world impacting the person? What is the secret to that? And it's knowing your identity. Amen? It's really crazy. Who's ever felt insecure before? Man, I know I have. Where it's like, man, I don't know who I am. I feel like nobody likes me. You know, you like, you meet somebody new and you're like, ooh, make sure you're not stinky and stuff. Got to make sure you look good. Because you're like, you're thinking about yourself and if they're going to like you. And that person is thinking the same thing, right? And so you guys are both insecure about who you are. But when you know who you are in Christ, that changes things. Let's open it to Gospel of John. That's where it is. That's the second one. Okay. Gospel of John, chapter 15. Let's see who Jesus says you are. Because if you understand who Jesus thinks you are and what he thinks of you, then when you do go out into the world, you're going out as the person he says you are. And now you're impacting people as that person, right? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So chapter 15 of John, verse 12 to 17. John, are you there? All right. It's after Luke, before Acts. Yeah, chapter 15. All right, verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friend. So a friend has to be loving, right? Verse 14, you are my friends if you do what I command you. This is Jesus talking. I want you guys to understand this. Jesus says, you are my friends when you do as I command you. No longer do I call you as servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have learned from my Father I have made known to you. Verse 16. You did not choose me, Jesus says, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide. So whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. Man, Jesus says we're his friends. Not his servants, his friends. Not only his friends, his ambassadors. You guys know what an ambassador is? Yeah, representative. You guys ever heard of Nikki Haley? Whoever's into politics? She's a United States ambassador. So what her job is, she goes to the United Nations and stuff, and she represents the United States of America. She's like, I'm here on the behalf of the United States of America. Jesus calls you his friends. He says, "You, if you do what I command you, you are my friend. Not only are you my friend, you're my ambassador. You represent me. He has given us his spirit so we can represent him in every single situation, everywhere we go, everybody who we talk to, every plane we're on." Come on, Inessa. And every class we're in, she's a stewardess. She understands that joke. But everything that we do, we are representing Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
He says something interesting in here. Verse 15. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. He says, I'm not going to call you guys servants anymore, because you guys are my friends. I'm going to tell you the plan. You guys, anybody know what the plan is? Anybody know what the plan is of that Jesus wants us to know? If you guys have your Bibles, open to John 3:16. A couple of pages back, Johnny. Oh, okay. John 3:16. All right. I thought maybe you needed some help. I don't know. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. So that's the plan. That's the plan. In verse 18, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe in him is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and the people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light. And everyone who does not come into the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever, how far am I going? 21. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Man, that is the plan of God. That he came, he gave his Son, to people could be saved for the salvation of souls. We're partners with Jesus. You guys see where I'm going with this? When you know who you are in Christ, man, and it's kind of discouraging sometimes to see people. Remember when I was growing up, I was a middle schooler. Man, in elementary school, I was a Christian. You know, I went to every single service and stuff. And that was back in Portland. And we moved to Idaho. And I was about middle school and stuff. And it's just that crazy thing. When you go from fifth grade to sixth grade, and you go from elementary to middle school, and you see all your friends, that I don't know if Julian, you're homeschooled, right? You're not homeschooled? I thought you were you're homeschooled. I don't know if you understand this or not, but you see all your friends, but you see all your friends that you had in the fifth grade, and you go to sixth grade, and there's a ton of more kids, right? And this is super crazy for me, because when I went from fifth to sixth, I was the funny kid in class. And then I get to this new school in Chehalem Middle School, and I'm like there, and I'm trying to be funny. Nobody understands my jokes. I'm like, wait, this is weird. You know, everybody used to like me, but not anymore, right? Because there's a ton of other schools. You know, you guys know how it works. A ton of other schools going to one school in sixth grade. And it's kind of discouraging sometimes to see when people move on in different stages of their life. And they kind of forget who they are in Christ, and they start letting the world impact them more than them impacting the world. And that's what Ephesians was talking about. Paul was saying, look how you walk. Make sure you're being diligent and watching your steps, man. Look where you're going. Don't be wasting your time just kind of circling and kind of just, you guys, who here drives? Who here drives? Who's learning how to drive? Hola. Hola. You know, like when you go from park, what's the next one? You know, like on the shifter? No, the next one after park, there's the one goes backwards. Is it reverse, right? And then what's the next one? Neutral, right? So sometimes it's kind of funny when you're backing out of a parking space and you go from reverse and you think you got into drive, but you're not in drive and you press the gas and you're actually in neutral and it goes, whang! You know, the car makes noise, but you're not going anywhere. See, sometimes we as Christians, we make noise, but we don't go anywhere. Why? Because we're not watching what we're doing. We're just in neutral. We're just stuck in neutral. We're not going into gear. And we put it into drive, then we start going. Amen? So Apostle Paul writes, man, guys, watch how you're walking. Watch how you're walking so people aren't influencing you in a negative way. Your question might be like, man, but I've been preaching to my unchristian friends at school, right? I have been preaching to these people, and I work with this kid. His name is, I don't want to say his name, actually. But anyways, I work with this kid, and he's about 18 years old. And when I just started on this job, I shared this testimony a little earlier, but when I started on this job, and people find out that I'm Christian, they're like, ooh, man, you should meet this kid, bro. He is so annoying, bro. Like, this guy, nobody wants to work with him. I'm like, I wonder why. You know, and I start to, you know, I get to work with him one day, and I'm like, hey, man, my name's Mark and stuff. He's like, yeah, dude, he has, like, Jesus stickers on his helmet, and he has, like, all this stuff. He always wears his helmet when nobody else does, but he's like, has Jesus stickers, and let's taco about Jesus and stuff, and, like, all the, like, got Jesus on his, helmet, and he's very, like, you know, blessed, arrogant in actually a different term, but he's like so in your face about God. And I'm like, sometimes that's bad, sometimes that's good. I haven't decided yet, but like, so he'd be like, man, people would be cussing and be like, don't say that word, or somebody would say something else, like, don't say that around me, I'm a Christian. And I'm kind of like walking, I'm like just looking at him like, man, this guy is really impacting the people around him, but in a bad way, because nobody wants to work with them anymore. You guys understand what I'm saying? So you can, either way, you're impacting people. Either you're walking up with, you know, like being so stuck up and like, ooh, I'm a Christian. Don't look at me. Don't talk to me. I'm a Christian. You know, you need to repent, Julian. You got to repent. You got to repent. You know what I mean? Like, I could do that to you, or I could show you the same love that Christ has showed me. Which one do you guys think is more effective? Number two. I mean, sometimes God calls you to do number one as well. Sometimes God calls you to go and do street evangelism. God calls you to go and preach open-air preachings and telling people to repent. God sometimes calls you to do that, but in your every single day-to-day life, Apostle Paul says, imitate me like I imitate Christ. You're just imitating Christ. So what if you don't see your friends change? What do you guys think? Isn't that kind of discouraging sometimes? When you're like, man, I've been preaching for them. I've been praying with them. I've been trying to help them and stuff, but I don't see them change. I don't see any fruit coming out of it. You know, Apostle Paul says, some plant, some water. Guess who makes it grow?
It's not up to you, bro. It's not about you, boo-boo. It's about Jesus Christ and his glory, amen? Amen. God works whenever he wants to, however he wants to. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. He even agrees, it's awesome. So when you understand who you are in Christ, you will impact the world slash your friends, not the other way around. Now we have the power to impact people. Why do you guys think Bible schools are so successful and popular? You guys have any ideas? Because there's a bunch of people just go there, and they just seek God, right? The environment. Everybody around them just impacting each other. Like the last day of SMBS, I don't know if you guys did this in IDT or in TBS or IDT, where everybody stands up and kind of just says, like, man, this person impacted me this way. Or this person impacted me this way. You guys don't do that? Oh, they did that in the IDT, so that's cool. And it's interesting to see that things that you do will impact somebody. Like somebody stood up and they're like, man, I'm grateful for this person. This person, you know, prayed every morning. And that encouraged me. Or somebody will stand up and be like, man, I'm grateful for this person because, you know, his sermons. Or this sister because she was praying. Or, you know, because when people go to Bible school, they get thrown into this environment where everybody's just seeking God. Everybody is going towards the goal. And in Philippians chapter 2, it's the next place I want to read from. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. Oh man, guys, I messed up. I messed up, guys, back there. I gave you the wrong verse. I gave you the right verse, but I'm going to go with a different one. Chapter 3. Sorry, Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Not that I have already attained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider what I have that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind me and straining toward what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal of the price of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal to you also to you. Verse 17, brothers, join in imitating me. And keep your eyes on the one who walks according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you, and now tell you with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. So when everybody is going towards this goal, when everybody is striving towards the goal, you know, if you have an arrow, and the arrow has no direction, it's pointless. You know what I mean, guys? If you're like, if you have no direction in your life, if you're not intentionally making friends that you want to impact intentionally, or that you want to impact you intentionally, like if I want Johnny to impact me with his amazingness and his anointing, I'm gonna start making friends with him, right? I want him to intentionally impact me. You know, every person you meet, you gotta be intentional with it. Be like, man, I want to impact this person intentionally, or I want this person to impact me. With their knowledge, with their anointing, with their whatever they have, their money. Just kidding. But I want them to impact me, and I want to impact them. Right? When we are careful about who our friends are and what people we hang around with, and when we are intentional, you know, things change. Things are different. Things are different, man. Actually, let's go back to Philippians chapter 2. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in the full accord of one mind. Do not do anything from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but in the interests of others. Having this in mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. man, and having fellowship with Jesus, being with one mind and one accord of people around you. If you want to see growth in your life, because I was thinking this the other day, man, I was like kind of praying. I'm like, man, Lord, by this time already, I thought I would have such an intimacy with you. You guys ever have that? It's like, God, by this time already, I thought I'd hear your voice and you speak through the clouds and I'll be walking hand in hand with you and be taking nations. You guys ever have that? And I was praying that. I was like, God, by this time, I thought I'd be closer. By this time in my life, I thought I would know you more. I have a child on the way right now. I'm like, God, by this time, I thought I'd, you know, I thought I'd have more anointing and more outpouring. I thought I'd be changing people around me. I thought the rooms would be full when I was preaching. Or when I prayed for somebody, I thought they'd just start breaking down. God, I thought you're going to be using me more. You know, but it's people who you're around. If you want to grow, surround yourself with people that are growing. Choose people in the church that you want to hang out with that are growing. Hang out with Johnny. No joke, though. Like, choose people that are growing. Go to those worship nights where they're worshiping God. Go to those places where they're worshiping God. And we went to the worship night, remember that one time? In the mountains where they're worshiping God. Man, that was so blessed. But have fellowship with Jesus as well. Because when you have your personal intimate time with God, and somebody else has their personal intimate time with God, and you guys get together, and you guys start sharing, start moving, start being, what's that word, intentional about spending, about talking about Jesus and not talking about other things, about talking about God and things of God and other things, you guys will both grow. Amen? Another quick thing I wanted to add. Bad company corrupts good morals. What is company? You guys know what company is? Friends, right? People or places where you hang out with, right? Like the vlogs you watch. Like if you're watching vlogs with people, like this is spoke to me, man. If you watch vlogs with people, if you guys don't know what a vlog is a person sharing his life on the internet. And you're kind of like watching him share his life and you're kind of like going on his adventures or her adventures. And man, if you're spending your time with people that are unbelievers, not only unbelievers, people that are outright like against God and things of God, or you know what I mean? Like people that are affect you in a negative way. Man, if you watch shows, I used to watch South Park, y'all. Bad show, man. Bad negative effects on me, man. But I'm going to tell you that right now. When you... It was a while back. It was a while back, guys. But when you spend your time on things that are just not of God, it's going to start corrupting you from the inside out, man. Back in the Old Testament, holiness and anointing, it was found, people thought it was like this, that you had to change yourself before coming to the temple. Right? You guys remember that kind of stuff where people had to change themselves before coming to the temple. But after the New Testament, we see a whole different picture. Jesus starts changing us from the inside out. He says, from the abundance of their heart, you know, it says something about rivers flowing. What is it? What is the rivers of living water will flow out of them, right? And not only will they flow out of them, but they will go into the world and change people's hearts. And change everything around them. So you have the power. Somebody say power. Power. Somebody say power. Power. Come on, man. You have the power to choose where you spend your time. And with whom you spend your time. And in where you invest your time. Amen. Amen.